You're listening to me, your lovable host, Elrod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
If you are not in the chat room, folks, we had one of the members in the chat room actually find the video I was talking about. It's a real video, and he posted the link to YouTube. And somebody else, who's obviously never seen it before, whom I can't remember the last time I ever heard or saw him swear, just said, "What the F was that?" Any case, as I become professional and regain my composure now, you people got it. I have figured out something. I have just figured it out, and it's simply because I follow the link because I didn't have the link to YouTube. It was on because I had reposted it on Twitter. I didn't even find it. Somebody else obviously found it first and posted it on Twitter. I don't know who, but retweeted it. And so I saw it. It was in my feed, and I retweeted it after I recomposed myself from laughter. But in any case, I just went over to the YouTube channel where it is posted, and I figured it out. Folks, you want to do some infiltrating? Because I think I am going to post this is probably going to get me kicked off of YouTube, but so what? I am going to start hashtagging, the hashtags in order for people to find you. Every video that I do from now on and post over there, until YouTube stops me, I'm going to hashtag it resistance. Because this kid, I'm going to early mid-20s, is what he looks like. I forgot about the big, black rim glasses that he was wearing. Forgot about those, which is probably why I thought he had dark eyes. I think it was the glasses that I noticed more than his eyes. But in any case, I hope I described him accurately to those of you who see the video. In any case, that seems to be what gets people's attention. Is this hashtag resistance. Now, I still don't know what the hell they're resisting, because I posted that question on various social media platforms. Exactly what are you resisting? Can you be specific? I have never gotten a single answer. I am not over exaggerating. Nobody. As many times as I have posted that question, nobody has answered me. Now I've had quite a few people who believe as I do that it's nonsense, who have posted comments about how they believe it is such total and complete nonsense and idiocy. Yeah, but that's not what I was looking for. What I'm looking for is a leftist who believes in resistance to tell me exactly what they are resisting. So the reality is many times over the past 9 months or so, and I started doing this back in February, so what, 8 months? since February, I have not gotten a single answer. Not even non-specific. I haven't gotten an answer from the left. Even though I was asking for specific reasons that they believe that they should be resisting, I haven't even gotten generalized answers on that one. Well, because Trump is an asshole. Okay, but that's not a specific reason. I haven't even gotten an answer like that. Well, maybe your question isn't being seen. Oh, no, it's being seen. It's being seen because, trust me, when I tell you that I've actually gone to people's pages, or if I've talked to them directly, whenever I get to the point where I'm conversing, and it's a one-sided conversation, believe me, with a leftist directly, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter, I get to the point where I specifically ask for a specific answer. They don't respond, ever. Well, specifically, what is it that you think that Trump is doing that's bad? Specifically, that's bad for America. Not an answer. What specifically are you resisting? The economy? Please be specific in your answer. Nothing. These are general questions that I have asked to the general public and questions I've asked directly to these people. Not a single leftist has answered. So I'm still sitting here thinking, well, I don't know. They can't really tell us why they're resisting, why they think that Trump is a back hole. They can't tell us. On occasion, I will get somebody who claims that I watch Fox News. And I don't know how many times I've had to say this. I do not watch Fox News. I have seen more, I've watched more airtime, live airtime, and video clips from CNN and MSNBC in the past year than I have seen of Fox over the last 10 years. So obviously, if you're telling me I watch Fox News, that one means that since I don't watch them, then I must be reaching a consensus with right wingers. Or two, you obviously watch Fox because you know what they say. And I have to defer to you on that. And you know what these people tell me? I don't watch Fox News. Then how the hell do you know what Fox News is saying? I don't know what Fox News is saying because I don't watch Fox News. You know how many times I've watched Hannity's show on Fox over the last year? Twice, that's it. I don't watch Fox News. And not either one of those times did I watch the entire hour. When the last time I watched Hannity on Fox is when he had then candidate Donald Trump on. The last time he had Trump on the show. I watched about a half hour of it. That's it. Hannity's on for an hour. So, no, I actually do not know what Fox News is saying, other than what you people say Fox News is saying. And it is not that I guess I do it on purpose, but it isn't for the reasons that people may think. I'm just simply not interested. Well, Rod, you should be. No, I'm more interested to hear and see what the left is saying because I'm not here to build a consensus with conservatives. I don't just hang out and listen to one side of an argument. It's been rare, but there have been times when I've agreed with leftists on particular minute details. They're not 100% wrong, just 99% wrong. and I'm probably being a little bit generous there, but let's just go with flat, even number, shall we? In any case, welcome back, folks. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunkerize studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, hour number two on this Tuesday, August number 28, in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's a sunny day. It's going to be hot today and tomorrow. And they're already putting out the weather condition warnings. It is supposed to be low 90s today with a high humidity rate. I guess the actual temperature feel is supposed, the real feel is supposed to be around 100 today and tomorrow. So summer isn't done with us yet here in the northern climes of New England. Yeah, that is a little too hot for me. I like it warm. I've mentioned this before. I prefer the 80s. You know, I don't, unless you're in the desert, I don't see the need for the temperature really to be above, well, I don't know, 85. In between 80 and 85 is ideal. That's beach weather. The good news is that unlike many of the high alert, high humidity days that we've had in the 90s around here this past summer, today there is a breeze. So there is a bit of a relief because there will be a little bit of a breeze today, I guess, up to five. But trust me, even a 5 mile per hour little breeze or gust does a lot to alleviate a lot of this heat. It's just terrible when the air is just stagnant and it just sits there and doesn't move and you just bake. But in any case, that's what it's going to be like. Hey, but on the other side of the country, it's freaking snowing up to 8 inches. The weather on this planet, there's nothing stagnant about the climate or weather on this planet. Nothing. At no time is it stagnant. This is not Mars. Well, I guess we're learning even Mars climate, even with such a thin atmosphere. I guess the weather up there is not exactly stagnant there either. But speaking of Mars, they're finding out a lot of stuff about Mars with these rovers. And I haven't been able to confirm it because some reports say that they found evidence of life or they found evidence of former life, or no, they didn't. And I'm still trying. We don't know what the hell happened up there. What we do know is that there was once free-flowing water. Where did it all go? Well, you know, some scientists say, well, we have these frozen polar caps on Mars like we do here, but there isn't enough ice. There isn't enough ice that would melt, that would give us the amount of water that was evidently once on Mars. Something catastrophic happened on that planet, or to that planet. Don't know what. I don't even think scientists really have come to a consensus on what they speculate could have happened. There's a whole host of theories about what happened up there. And we may never find out, or we may only find out once we actually set human boots on the ground up there and are actually able to actually feel and see for ourselves. But evidently, obviously, something catastrophic happened to that planet. When? We can't tell yet. Why? Don't know. They've ruled out a massive, you know, meteor strike or asteroid strike simply because there is no evidence of one that they have found so far. Unlike we've noticed a couple of giant craters on this planet, which could have allowed mankind to surface. And folks, trust me, because science cannot and has not in any way, shape, or form ruled out the Genesis creation story. It just hasn't. So I know some people are thinking, well, I thought you believed in... I do believe in the creation story, 100%. But there's a lot of holes in that story. And what I mean holes is we don't know exactly how long a day is for God. Oh, you believe the earth was created in less than a week? Depends on how long the week was. Remember, time is a human construct. And even our construct of time isn't perfect. Why? Because our planet doesn't evolve around the sun and doesn't rotate on this axis on an exact 24/7/365 calendar. It does whatever the hell it wants up there. And for whatever reason, we can't seem to figure out a time scale to fit it exactly. So don't tell me that, you know, well, you believe that he created the earth in 6 days. We don't know how long those 6 days were. To tell you the truth, you know, I'm a Christian history scholar. That's what I study. We're not even exactly sure that the translation of day is accurate. Just say. So I know there are people who are going to... The reality is, we don't know how long... Day obviously was not a 24-hour time period. But hey, it could have been. But the way things work and the way God does things and has done things, it was not necessarily a 24-hour time period. Now, we also, the Bible also tells us, it gives us a little hint that a day to God is but 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but a day. So again, how long was a day? We don't know. Just to put that out there. So, I mean, some people, I thought you believed. Well, I do. In any case, we don't know what happened to Mars. There are some science, and this is not even what I wanted to cover, but I just sort of rolled into this. There are actually, because we cover everything here on this program, there are theories out there that claim that the asteroid belt is actually pieces of Mars. Well, the theory is that the moon used to be a part of the Earth and that a giant planetoid-sized asteroid crashed into the planet and ripped a part of the planet out and put it up in orbit and formed the moon. I mean, that's one of the theories. Well, there is another theory out there that suggests that something similar happened to Mars, and the asteroid belt is not a separate planet, but is actually pieces of Mars. They put all these asteroids together, and they put it together and say that if all the asteroids around the asteroid belt at that mass were attached globally to the planet of Mars, it would be slightly larger than the Earth and very similar. Again, it's a theory. I don't know. Nobody knows. So could something like that have happened to Mars? Is that the reason why it doesn't have an atmosphere? I don't know. None of us do. Not even the people who are studying Mars 24/7. They still aren't any closer to any answers today than they were 30 years ago. But in any case, Dom, I don't know if it's too small to hold an atmosphere. We don't know. Venus is small, comparatively speaking, to the Earth. It's smaller. I don't think it's as small as Mars, but it's smaller than the Earth. And it has an atmosphere. But then, it's, you know, way too close to the sun for life to form. Not to mention, it's the only planet that goes in the opposite direction and rotates backwards. And there are theories that say that Venus is not of this solar system, that it was captured at... Well, if you got a planet that's flying through space that gets captured by our sun and put and is put into orbit around our sun, is it not then plausible for planet-size asteroids, if it were, to be roaming around, ramming into other planets and doing that type of destruction, like creating a moon or creating an asteroid belt? I would assume that if that were the case, and a lot of the, you know, a good portion of the asteroid belt would, my question is, well, if some sort of object struck Mars and it formed the asteroid belt, wouldn't that also be in the asteroid belt? I would think so, yeah. But, again, I'm not a big, huge, learned astrophysicist or scientist by any stretch of the imagination. So I just defer to these people who supposedly know what they're talking about, and they come up with these theories. Now, they got to have good reasons for coming up with these theories. Or maybe they're just pulling them out of their ass. I have no idea. We know that they're pulling all the information about global climate change and global warming out of their ass. So it's highly possible they're just pulling all this other stuff out of their ass too. Who knows? To try to bring some sort of reason and scale to our solar system and universe. There's one thing that man cannot stand is they cannot stand not understanding how things work. We've always been that way. But we've always had a group of people for their own selfish gain and power who've tried to keep knowledge out of the hand of the general population. They've always tried to manipulate it. But behind the scenes, they've always been striving to find out what the truth is. We've always been curious about stuff like that. If we weren't, we never would have advanced. We'd still be, you know, living in thatched huts or caves or something. But our nature is to be curious. And that's a double-edged sword, actually. Because when we're curious, we not only do we invent good things, but we also invent things that aren't necessarily used for good. You know, atomic energy, good for creating energy, but very bad to use in anger. But we wouldn't have gotten that stuff if we weren't curious. Somebody one day just had to come up with the idea, what if we took an atom and did this to the atom, to a certain kind of material? What would happen? It all started out of curiosity. And then we got the first atomic bomb, and we've been, you know, building on that knowledge ever since. So curiosity can be a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing. But it leads us to want to grow. Even though you have some people out there who want to take that knowledge and manipulate it and use it for their benefit, usually that means it's the detriment to everybody else at large. But in any case, taking a break right now so I can come back and cover the stuff that I actually wanted to cover this hour. We'll be right back.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, But now, there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candy, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Well, I think today we made it past what we made, what we got through yesterday, before the electricity went down and out. If there's anything that reminds folks of how fragile, now, my first question was about the power outage yesterday, before I found out what actually was going on, was, middle of the day? There's no pressure on the power grid, because yesterday was a very comfortable day. It was not too hot, so there wouldn't have been a lot of air conditioning going on. Was there a problem with the power grid? Did somebody hack it? You know, folks, our power grid system because we have, again, we have people who want to manipulate things for their benefit. Now, this is one aspect in one area that I kind of, on a very fine point, agree with leftists on. And that is, we do have people who are all about the profit, regardless of what happens to the rest of us. You have the big energy corporations and the mid-size energy corporations and the small energy corporations, you know, even your local ones, you know, your local oil heating company and gas company and things. They're all, it's not a big conspiracy, but they're all in with the same mentality because it benefits them. And that is to have this antiquated, centralized, wide distribution system. Now, the irony is that when it comes to certain things like heating oil, for example, well, those tend to not be very large companies. Yeah, there are some large companies involved in it. There are some national companies involved in the heating oil. But most heating oil is distributed to consumers via the small family-run type of business. And they usually have a very limited delivery area, simply because everything comes out of their one central plant or location, because most of these places, they have one location, and everything is distributed from there. So they can't drive an oil truck 100 miles, for example, to fill somebody's oil tank. It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's an antiquated way of delivering things, for one. But two, that means we have to have smaller companies with smaller distribution streams. It's less centralized. And thus, whenever we have a hit to our heating oil system, it doesn't come from the distribution side from the small guys. It comes from the centralized distribution and manufacture of it from the major big guys. So we have this system built out for home heating oil distribution that really involves a bunch of small, basically compared to the other, you know, oil and energy conglomerates out there, the small mom and pop shops. Even though, you know, they could be multi-million dollar companies, they're still pretty local. And they're able to efficiently disseminate this oil all across the country. We don't seem to want to do that on a natural gas or electric generation type of system. I mean, we've got natural gas pipelines running all over this country. We've got electrical lines running all over this country. Why? Because it's all coming from centralized, large centralized plants, creating what they call the electric grid. Now, that's highly inefficient, and it's highly vulnerable. I mean, you take out a major power distribution station, and you can turn out the lights in much of a major region. Because we have not localized power generation enough in this country. We just haven't done it. We want to build these, we used to think, well, we'll build these giant nuclear plants. Well, that wasn't for a small little region or area. That's for an entire region. You know, we want to build here in New England, they have this thing by, so far, we have stopped the power line cutting through New Hampshire, even down through our White Mountains, from a hydroelectric dam up there in Canada. Yeah, they wanted to build power lines, you know, just high-tension power lines, almost literally cutting the state in half from north to south with these power lines. terminating somewhere down in Massachusetts, where the electricity would then be introduced into the New England grid and disseminated throughout New England. Well, that was a dumb idea for a number of reasons. One, it's extremely expensive, of which New England ratepayers would be paying the price for. Two, it would ruin the aesthetic of the state. And three, every time that we have a major ice or snow or thunderstorm, a part or a good portion of those lines would come down. It's already happened in the recent past, and it seems to happen almost on an annual basis. It's not reliable. And when they tried to get the company to bury the lines through most of the state, the company refused. If you're going to, we realize it was going to add to the cost, because it is more expensive to bury a line than it is to string it up high up in the air like that. Now, you would think that wouldn't necessarily be the case, but that is the case. Because it's a different type of technology, a different type of wire and armoring the wire and all that kind of stuff. And it's got to go down so far, so many feet underground. There is an added expense to the total cost of the project. But instead of doing what was right, they wanted to do what was cheap and expedient at the expense of the people who were supposed to benefit from that additional power. And it would not have brought prices down for electricity here in this region. As a matter of fact, it could have increased prices, which is one of the reasons why those that are in the position to approve or disapprove such projects in this state denied it. Not to mention, high tension lines are just ugly. But we have this notion that we need to still build these large plants and have centralized distribution when the most efficient way is to build smaller plants that are highly efficient, that are less vulnerable to outages. I mean, when I found out that even people generating their own power is limited, in other words, and it's not just New Hampshire. Did you realize that most of the states in this country have a caveat that they could limit the number of people that have solar panels? In other words, there's a maximum output that people, the generalized public, can do to produce electricity. Once they reach that maximum, either they have to raise that ceiling or nobody else can get a solar panel put on their property. And in some states, you actually have to have permission to turn that system on from the power company. Why? Well, because the power company actually has to come out and change your meter, your power meter, because it has to be able to run backwards. And most power meters aren't able to run, legitimately are not able to run backwards and feed power into the line, back into the system. Power company has to come out and they have a special meter that does that allows for that back and forth transmission. And they can deny you. And then if you say, well, fine, I'll just disconnect from the grid, then some communities say, no, you can't disconnect from the grid. You have to be connected. Well, I never use it. Doesn't matter. You have to be connected. Well, none of that makes any sense because it doesn't benefit the general population. Maybe at one time when all this was first getting started, it did, but it doesn't make any sense today. Technology is that things would be more efficient the more localized the power generation is. Because you would not believe how much power is lost through leaky lines. Now, it just naturally happens. There's no way to prevent it that we know of today. When you transmit the power over such a long distance, you lose a lot of that power in the transmission. Resistance creates heat. There's just even natural bleed off. So the power that is generated at the power plant is not the same amount that ends up at its final distribution point. At the distribution point, it's a lot less. That's inefficient. But if you want to cut the power to thousands of people, maybe even 100,000 people, take out that single power plant. In a less decentralized system, you want to cut out the power to thousands of people? Well, you got to take out tens, if not hundreds, of power plants. A little more difficult to do, is it not? But the powers that be like the ability of being able to control. And this all started back with Edison versus Tesla, folks. Yeah, I know the story. It all started back between the AC/DC fight. Now, I'm not talking about the band. And centralized distribution for profit versus massive decentralized distribution for free or nearly free. And, of course, the corporates, Edison, won out. And that is the exact same type of system that... Now, just think about when Edison first started and started building power plants. It is the exact same system we have today. Sure, the technology has changed, but the distribution, the method of distributing that power is exactly the same as it was back then. No different. Build massive power plants and then distribute it everywhere as far as you possibly can. And the theory is, well, we can control the this is where I also disagree with leftists. You know, we can control the pollution easier in one plant. The reality is that's not true. Because the bigger you get, the reality is it starts to work in reverse. Efficiency starts to work in reverse, and it becomes less efficient for a number of different reasons. You have to build a bigger plant than you normally would in order to push all that electricity out, because so much of it is lost in the transmission without being used. So much of it is wasted in the transmission. So the plant has to be a certain size larger than if they built smaller plants closer to where the power was going to be eventually used. Not to mention, on a smaller basis, it's easier to contain the pollution and scrub it and clean it and all that kind of stuff than it is on a large scale like that. Not to mention, it takes up less land total. They've already proven this. Just saying. But anyway, ESPN's Kellerman. Tiger Woods has just entered the fray of political discourse, and he didn't mean it. Tiger Woods is really, I guess he's really trying to focus on getting back into the top echelons of the golfing world again. I don't think he's ever going to get there. Whatever it was that drove him before his little attack by his wife because she caught him cheating, whatever happened, I think it ended his drive to be the best. And it's not because of age. I think whatever it is, his back injury and other things, it just ended his relentless drive. I don't think he's the same Tiger. Now, I'm not a huge golf fan, so I don't really know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. Other than the fact that when I see him now versus when I used to see him, pre-Elon divorce, there doesn't seem to be the same passion there. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't see the same. It's not that they're two different Tigers. But he's not one to be known to wade into the political waters at all, as many sports stars don't. Now, you talk about singers and actors, it's a different story. But most sports stars, even when they're asked political questions, they sort of try to tread the water very lightly. They don't want to get involved in that. And I don't blame them, because their focus is not on that. And I think it's a shame that you get a bunch of reporters that try to force some of these people into this, into that type of position. So Tiger was asked about Donald Trump and the presidency. And Tiger's response was very germane. It was very benevolent. And basically he just said, well, I respect the office of the presidency. And that is what got ESPN, one of ESPN's co-hosts, Max Kellerman, to respond to Tiger. He says, I want to say something about what Tiger Woods said. It really bothers me. I'm angry at what Tiger Woods said. It is a thoughtless statement dressed up as a thoughtful statement. And it either holds in contempt the intelligence of people who hear it, or else is just a stupid thing to say. To say you must have respect for the office. Tiger, be clear. Are you saying that the office therefore confers respect onto its present temporary occupant? No. Having respect for the office means principally, in my view, is the office holder should have respect for the office. Well, that is true. However, what Tiger Woods did or said is absolutely accurate. Even though I did not like President Obama, and I still don't, I had still had respect for the office that he held. Well, Rod, didn't you say you wouldn't have a beer with him? Yes, I said it, and I meant it. That's not out of disrespect for the office. That's simply because I didn't like the man. You don't have to have a beer or coffee or sit down to dinner with anybody that you don't like, no matter what their office is. It does not mean you are disrespecting or have no respect for that particular office that they hold. There are companies that I've worked for that I couldn't stand the CEO. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to mention the name of it, but one company that I worked for, the CEO worked in the exact same building that I worked in. And whenever I saw her, I went the opposite direction. I did not like her. The company as a whole was okay. Her, I did not like. Now, did I disrespect the office of CEO of that company? No. Not at all. So respecting an office does not mean that you necessarily have to respect the person who's currently occupying it. Now, if that CEO were to say, hey, you want to come have dinner or have lunch with me? I would respectfully tell her no. But if it was something that it was a company event that the office of the CEO, no matter who's holding it, requested my appearance, I would go. If Obama were to ask me, hey, Rod, you want to come have a beer with me? I'd say no. If I got an invitation with the letterhead that this is a official presidential event, I would go. Even though the president was Obama. Do folks see the difference? Most of you out there in listening land understand it. Evidently, Max Kellerman does not, simply because of his unadulterated hatred for the president. And ESPN is a sports network. It's not a political network. It's not a news network. It's sports. Tiger Woods was asked a question, and his answer was, people need to respect the presidency, meaning the office. That was it. And this is what set off Max Kellerman. And Now, how many subscribers has ESPN lost over the last 8 years or so? Millions. Now, I know you would think that these people care about this stuff, but obviously they don't. How many viewers does CNN have? CNN's viewing numbers are so low and so bad that HGTV has more, on average, viewers every hour than CNN does. People are turning off ESPN to watch sports on other networks. Because of crap like this. They don't want to... Look, when I'm watching a professional sports game, I don't care what it is, I don't want to see politics involved in it. I don't want to hear about politics involved in it. I want to see the sport. I could care less what the politics of those people on the ground are. Unless, of course, they want to go spout off and start espousing that they're so intelligent, like, you know, so-called King James in basketball. I don't really care. I don't care to know. I don't care what an actor's thoughts are. I don't care what a musician's thought. I don't listen to you or follow you or go to your movies or concerts or buy your records or what have you based on your political views. I could care less what they are. Until you start opening your mouth and start pushing your beliefs, that's when I have to care. Because then it becomes clear to me what you're doing. And if I happen to vehemently disagree with what you believe, I am not going to give you my hard-earned money so you can turn around and use it against me. Now, as far as Tiger Woods' answer is concerned, I thought it was very benign, and it was highly accurate. The question was inappropriate to begin with. His answer was highly appropriate. Now, that doesn't mean that Tiger Woods likes Donald Trump at all. He didn't even get into that. I don't know if Tiger Woods likes or dislikes Donald Trump. I don't particularly care. Now, Kellerman continued saying, we are held to a standard of behavior we at our jobs, right? People in their daily lives. A president of anything is held to a higher standard of behavior. It is not such that we have such great respect for the office that no matter what the behavior of its occupant, we must respect the occupant because of the office. No, Tiger Woods is being slick. We must respect the office, therefore that confers respect to the occupant. Tiger is... That is what you're saying, right? If that's what you're saying, that is a stupid comment. No. What you just said, Mr. Kellerman, is stupid. Now, for those who don't know, Kellerman is obviously a liberal hack, and he's also black. But I always ask this question, well, what specifically is the behavior that you think is unpresidential of the president? Well, his tweets. Oh, forget the tweets. Tweets is something modern. Do you think that if Twitter has been around since 1900, do you think there wouldn't have been a president that wouldn't have used that medium? Well, I'm reminded constantly by one particular person of another bombastic president who would probably go farther than Trump has, and that would be Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, the man was. Yeah, and now you could only be bombastic in person back during his tenure, but my God, did that man not hold his tongue! But I don't see or hear anybody talking about Teddy Roosevelt in history as being or acting unpresidential. Of course not. In fact, you know, Roosevelt started the national park system, basically, and so you got a bunch of leftists who loved him. But he was very pro-American, you know, and an American war hero and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives, you know, people on the right liked him. But he didn't hold anything back. And we look back on Teddy Roosevelt and think, oh, what a wonderful man. You don't think he would have used Twitter?
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.